This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
We just need a strategy, okay?
Okay, here's the plan.
It is Friday, and in honor of the new Star Wars trailer, we have a Star Wars themed top 10. Come on. Hey everybody, welcome back. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. It is Friday, and I know we haven't done it in a while, but we've got yet another top 10.
All right. Woo! Wow! Top 10! Top 10!
All right, this week's top 10 is the top 10 songs if they existed in the Star Wars universe. We do have the Nerd Herd on, by the way, with us. We got Chris, AJ, and Andrew, so they're going to be helping me with this top 10. So here we go. The top 10 songs if they existed in the world of Star Wars. Number 10, All These Things I've Obi-Wan. Number 9, that Stevie Wonder classic, Sir Luke.
Ah, that's good.
Number 8, Yoda One That I Want.
Oh, I like it.
Number 7, Whiskey in the Jar Jar. Number 6, Ewok Like an Egyptian.
Okay, that was a good one. I'll give you that one.
Number 5, Looking for Droids in All the Wrong Places.
In all the wrong places.
Clever.
Number 4, I've Got a Peaceful, Easy Feeling About This. Number 3, General Tarkin About My Generation.
Oh,
that was
I
a stretch,
it.
But
I had to have a Who song in there. Number 2, The Devil Went Down to Endor.
Well,
and the number 1 song if it existed in the Star Wars universe. Save a Tauntaun, Ride a Jedi.
Oh, no.
All right, guys, we are going to have the Nerd Herd back for one more time because, as you know, big news this week. The Star Wars trailer finally broke right after the NFL game. And by the way, it is kind of a sad commentary that the NFL's biggest ratings by far came from a Star Wars trailer. But anyway, that aside, we do have a lot to talk about with these guys. We'll be back in just a moment. Before we do, I want to tell you about our good friends at Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. Great people. They've been in the Montgomery area for 50 years now. I trust them. The city of Montgomery trusts them. People in Wetumpka and Prattville and Millbrook, they all trust them, and they do because they do a good job, and they do it at a fair price. You get in, you get out. They're able to explain to you exactly what's wrong with the car. If they find anything else wrong with it that you didn't know about, then they ask you if you want to go ahead and proceed. They put you, pun intended, in the driver's seat. So regardless of what kind of car that you have, take it down to Jim Woodham Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. Believe me, if Luke lived in Montgomery, he would be bringing his X-Wing into Southside Firestone Tire and Auto Center. So you be sure to go by there, too. They're on the Troy Highway. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is a News Radio 1440 podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tactics on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com. 860-1440 are the numbers if you want to weigh in. We have the Nerd Herd back with us because big Star Wars news coming out this week with the trailer. Lots and lots and lots to talk about, and so I've got them with me.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you do need to go ahead and watch it, but we have Chris, AJ, and Andrew with us. Welcome into the program, guys, and I gotta say, my reaction to this movie looks amazing, and I'm really excited about it because I liked The Force Awakens, but I thought it was just a little bit too much of a rehash of A New Hope. I gotta say, this does not look like a rehash of Empire Strikes Back.
So far.
Right.
Yeah, I've heard some people suggest it, but I think you can also find similarities between any two movies if you look hard enough. But one thing that you did mention, I want to emphasize, not only does it look awesome, it looks awesome.
Right. Graphically.
Oh, yeah. The lighting, the CGI, I don't know. It just all looks really pretty.
Yeah, the special effects, the sound effects were really good. The battle scene, I thought that the space battle, that was one that looked incredibly impressive to me. And I will say this. This is my prediction, and I want to get y'all's reaction to it. It doesn't look to me like it's going to be an Empire Strikes Back rehash, but I do think that it's going to be similar in two ways, because we saw at the end, you've got this moral dilemma between Rey and Kylo Ren, and I think that like Empire Strikes Back, it's going to have a dark, messy ending where we're not really sure where the series is going with this, and I do think that it's also going to be a coming-of-age story, because you remember in the first two movies, Luke is going through the journey of becoming a Jedi. When Star Wars Episode 6 starts, Luke's pretty much a fully developed Jedi Master. And so I think that the Star Wars is going to follow a similar pattern here with Rey. I think that you're going to see a lot of training, a lot of growing in this movie, and by the beginning of Star Wars Episode 9, Rey's going to be a Jedi Master, or something akin to it. She's going to have her powers fully developed.
Yeah, but I think this one is not nearly going to be as nice and clean as Yoda's training of Luke was.
Probably not.
Because it seems like Luke is not only not sold on training her in the first place, but it seems like from the trailer that she might also be willing to look to other people as well.
Yeah.
Maybe. That depends on the editing.
Well, first of all, I'm pretty sure we're not going to have a scene of Rey hiking through a swamp with Luke on her back. So that's one
Although
big
there is
difference.
That one scene, that underwater scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting to me that Yoda was so incredibly hesitant to train Anakin in Episode 1, and yet Luke just kind of shows up and he's like, yep, I'm training him. And there wasn't a lot of hesitation, and you're kind of seeing that similar hesitation that maybe he's just kind of gun-shy from what happened. There was a line in this trailer where he says, I've seen this kind of power before. It didn't scare me then. It does scare me now. I think because of what happened with Kylo Ren, now he's really cautious about who he trains and what that person could become, and maybe that's why he went out into exile in the first place.
Let me toss a comment on about that scene with Rey and Kylo Ren. Someone made a comment about how you're not going to see Luke carrying Rey around through the forest. There was a point in that episode where Luke ran into a cave and he ended up chopping off Darth Vader's head, but then he saw his head in the helmet. Sorry, spoiler if you haven't seen that part, but you should have.
I don't think you have to yell spoiler alert for a 25-year-old movie.
I know, right? But my point is, what if this is something similar to that, where it's kind of like in her mind, and she's playing, it's kind of like part of the Jedi training, where it's playing out in her head what might happen, and she's got to learn how to fight it off.
So in other words, you think that it may not be her actually reaching out to Kylo Ren, but rather it's a test kind of like Luke went through.
Yeah, it just popped in my head.
That's clever. There may be something to that.
So I have my own theory on that last final scene where Kylo's sticking his hand out for somebody.
Yeah.
I think they've edited it to where it's a clip from Rey talking to Luke, and the person that Kylo Ren is actually talking to, I think it's Finn.
Huh.
Ah, that's a good thought.
I think he's going to be reaching his hand out to Finn.
See, now, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, Chris, because you and I have actually had this discussion before. I thought that scene wasn't clipped and it actually was Kylo and Rey. I think that maybe you were right in your original analysis and that they may be going for a sort of a gray Jedi mentality here, because it seems like... You remember that scene where Rey is just so unsure of herself, and you see all throughout the trailer scenes of her kind of doubting herself and not knowing if she's really on the right path. And then you also see Kylo looking at his helmet, just kind of disgusted, and then slams it against the wall there. I think what they may be going to is that Kylo and Rey join forces and abandon the Sith and the Jedi.
Ooh.
That's where I think it's going. And I know that you've floated that before, so I wanted to get your reaction on what that was.
Just on that note, too, the whole point of Luke mentioning that I've seen this power before is definitely going to fuel more speculation that Kylo Ren and Rey are related in some way, too.
Oh!
That could be genetic. Yeah, I could see that, but I don't know what the implications of that are. Because, I mean, they could just run off and leave all the crazy stuff behind, but that doesn't really seem to make sense.
Well, could be. I'm not really sure. But to what you were just saying about them being related, a lot of people have speculated because there was a couple of hints dropped in The Force Awakens that Rey is actually Luke's daughter. And they would be related if she was Luke's daughter.
I mean, Star Wars is a Skywalker story, so.
That one family really throws a monkey wrench into the whole universe when you think about
it. How did Luke have a daughter? I thought he wasn't supposed to be married because he was a Jedi.
Well, if you're, if you're not looking at Star Wars canon, and correct me if I'm wrong, AJ, because you're really more of our expanded universe expert. At least in the non-canon where the books and Luke restarts the Jedi Order, in the new Jedi Order, Jedi are allowed to marry.
They are. And again, this is all non-canon now since
it's no longer canonical,
Disney
though.
Bought it.
I think that maybe they would think we'll borrow some ideas from the non-canon material, but we're not going to be bound to it. So I don't think it would be much of a stretch for them to at least adopt that idea.
So what about going off topic here, steering a different direction? What about all the non-Jedi stuff, right? We've got this big battle on Crait between the First Order, the big space battle you mentioned. We've got Chewbacca with this sweet little sidekick that I'm excited to see.
Oh, the Porg. Yes, Twitter freaking blew up over the Porgs. And I think this thing looks like a cross between a hamster and a penguin.
It's the new Ewok. It's just
I think it's the point.
I think it's going to be like the new mascot of the Star Wars franchise, probably.
Are they going to play some kind of major role in bringing down the First Order, like the Ewoks did with the Empire?
I don't know. I think a lot of people felt that the Ewok thing was sort of silly, and I don't know that they want to rehash that. Even if people liked Ewoks, they didn't think that it made much sense that the Ewoks played an actual important role in the plot, and I don't know that we would see that happen with the Porg.
You know, in the films, they were never actually called Ewoks. Somebody went back in an interview and asked George Lucas, hey, what were these creatures? He's like, Ewoks.
Interesting.
Yep. I'm guessing he just randomly threw four letters together.
Probably, I don't know.
That seems to be what the Star Wars playbook for naming things is.
I'm excited to see the battle between Phasma and Finn.
That to me was interesting. Epic. They've seemed to be going more and more because you remember in The Force Awakens, they kind of hinted that Finn might be a Jedi. He has that lightsaber duel. Clearly, he's not great at handling a lightsaber, so I think they've taken him in a different direction using that, whatever that weapon is that he's using in the trailer.
But he was kind of decent at it.
Yeah, like he looks like he's holding his own.
Like a gyroscopic effect. And for you to kind of wheel that around, like, you know, it's going to be kind of spinny and all funky when you kind of throw it around. But he actually did pretty good, so I think he has some potential there.
Kylo Ren at the end of Episode 7, so I mean, he's got some skill.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he had no skill, but he was obviously not to the level that Rey was. Rey was just kind of a natural at wielding a lightsaber, so I think that that's part of the
First Order training there with weapons, I'm sure, helped.
You also have Poe's story, right? He's apparently going to play some big role. And his X-Wing is getting outfitted with some sort of extra engine on it or something in the trailer.
It's a Hemi.
I'm just saying the Hemi could have made the Kessel run in 12 parsecs.
Maybe faster.
Maybe. This whole trailer, I think this really does open up the Star Wars universe. There are several new things like we talked about with the Porg. They paid a lot of fan service and homage to the original Star Wars trilogy in the first movie. It looks to me like this is going a completely different direction, and that's what this trailer was trying to tell us. This is not your parent Star Wars.
Yeah. They're bringing in a lot of new stuff.
With The Force Awakens, they're trying to gain our trust back, saying, like, you know, hey, it's in good hands. You know, we got this. We'll make it something good.
Yeah, I think that that's fair, and I think that was probably what Abrams was going through. By the way, this is kind of on a side note, but this news broke, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Abrams is going to be back for Episode 9 as well. So
he wants money, right?
I mean, I don't see how any director turns that down. You want to do the Star Wars trilogy? Yeah. That's not really a thinking question.
I want to see those crystal foxes or whatever, too.
Those look cool.
Those.
Like a dog. I want to talk about the lighting in the trailer.
Yeah, now, you actually had a really interesting theory on this. Go ahead.
I did. In Episode 3, we saw the very last scene where Anakin and Obi-Wan were friends and cordial to each other, Anakin was standing under an overhang, and Obi-Wan was standing out like in the open. Anakin was in the shadows in the darkness, Obi-Wan was in the light. In Episode 7, The Force Awakens, we saw the very end where, spoilers, Kylo Ren kills his father, Han. He has the blue coming from, like, outside facing him, then he has the red behind him, the light and the dark. In the very end of the trailer that we saw, we see where Rey has like a half-lit face and a half-shadowed face, light and dark. And then the very next scene after that, we see Kylo has a fully lit face.
So do you think maybe one thing that could have happened is that Kylo, because he got mad and we saw that scene where he's really questioning, do you think maybe Kylo turns back to the light and then brings Rey back as well?
I think he definitely like turns away from the darkness, or at least like makes a conscious attempt to try to abandon it. We've always seen, like, throughout the movies, the Force is naturally light, and people have a pull to the darkness. With Kylo, we're seeing a natural darkness and a pull to the light.
Yeah, that is really different, and I think that's an interesting way. That would be a very interesting way to develop a villain and a character, because somebody that was so committed to the dark side of the Force that he was willing to kill his own father in the name of it to be able to redeem himself, I think that would be a really interesting story.
I wonder if Snoke finally told him, hey, your grandfather that you idolized so much, he died killing the Emperor and becoming back to the light. So there's that.
That may have been it, because it seemed like Vader was his motivation. And if all of a sudden he learned that Vader died a Jedi as opposed to a Sith, maybe that does change his mind. I don't know.
Well, we're given from the trailer that Ren is at one point considering whether to kill Leia or not on the ship. I wonder if at a certain point he keeps doing these things to try to fulfill his path, right? And I wonder if he keeps doing this stuff and maybe he realizes that it's empty and that every time he does it, he still doesn't get to where he thinks he's supposed to be, so he gives up on it eventually.
Yeah, I was thinking about this a lot, and I think that maybe this is even a play on our times, because if you look at this through politics, which of course that's what I do for a living, if you look at this through the lens of politics, it's almost like, and this goes to my Grey Jedi theory, to where Ren and Kylo both kind of turn away from what is perceived as supposed to be their destiny. I think they may be kind of making a third party, if you were to put it into political terms. Like, a lot of people our age, a lot of millennials, they don't feel like they really belong to the Republicans or the Democrats. They don't feel like there's a home in either one of those, and a lot of Americans feel that way. And so I think maybe this is a cultural commentary, and they're saying, I don't know that we really belong in either of these camps. Let's go off and do our own thing. Now, I'm not saying I necessarily like that, because honestly, I'm a huge Jedi fan. I like the Jedi. I like the light side of the Force. The Sith don't really interest me. Even stormtroopers and non-Jedi characters don't even really interest me. So I don't want the story to go that direction, but I do kind of feel that they may going that way.
So what's the end goal then? Because they're not going to be a third faction in this war. Are they still going to be involved in the war, but fighting from a different side, or just fighting from their own side?
Just to end it.
Right. They may be just trying to bring peace to both sides. I really don't know.
What if they're like, they form a faction, or not a faction, they get together, and what's the name of the guy, the Marvel Universe, he was in Age of Ultron and Yellowstone?
You mean Vision?
Vision. He came in and someone asked him at one time, whose side are you on? And he was like, I'm not on anybody's side. I'm on the side of whatever's right. And maybe that's what these guys are, what Kylo and Rey are going to end up doing, is they think that the Jedi aren't completely right, the Sith aren't completely right, but that gray Jedi area is where the true balance lies.
It's all about balance. Let's keep in mind that in Rogue One, you did see, they kind of showed that the rebellion wasn't exactly squeaky clean either. You saw Saul Guerrera and some of the really harsh methods that they were doing. And there's another thing that kind of points to that. If y'all remember the Clone Wars series, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, there was an episode where Anakin is on a planet that's basically the source of the entire universe, and there are two representatives of the light side of the Force and the dark side of the Force. And rather than destroying the dark side, he basically brings them both into submission and brings them into balance, as opposed to favoring one to the other.
Yep.
And so I think that at least for the past several years, Star Wars has been kind of moving in that direction. It's not even necessarily a direction that I like, but I do sense that that movement is starting to take place. And so I think that we may see that go full force, pun intended, in the... We may actually see that going full force in The Last Jedi. The reason that the title is The Last Jedi in the first place is that that's the end of the Jedi Order, that's the end of the Sith Order, and you're seeing this kind of amalgamation to the will of the Force being brought forward. It's an interesting theory. I think this is going to be a really great movie. Thoroughly enjoyed the trailer. There's a lot of conjecture, a lot of opinions going out about it, but hopefully we cleared a little bit of that up for you. We'll be back in just a second.
Tactics with Caleb Colquitt, every weekday from 9 to 11, only on News Radio 1440 and NewsRadio1440.com.